all of you. I feel this is very important for your retreat. You have done your first day of the retreat. For me, this is always the most difficult day. It's difficult because of two reasons. We have to somehow create an atmosphere where previously not an atmosphere was there. I mean, a devotional atmosphere. This is a hotel where usually yoga groups come, and also tourists and vegetarians and so on. It is a special hotel, but it is nevertheless a hotel for tourists. And we have to create a temple atmosphere, an atmosphere of a holy place. That's not easy. The second reason why the first day is the most difficult has to do very much with our lives. See, when we come here and go on retreat and sit down in the hall, something else sits down with us. It's our old life. Our old life comes also along. Our habits, our thoughts, our moods. For some of us, our problems come along with us. So then all of a sudden, we come into an entirely different atmosphere where it's all about Krishna, Kirtan, an exalted personality like Haridas and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They already look so different, no? They look like from another time and another world and another universe almost. So on the first day, our old egos clash with the atmosphere which we are all trying to generate together. And it is not always a pleasant crash. Two worlds collide. Our old life and our new life. I had people on the first day of the retreat leave the retreat and say, "This is too intense." They were shaking on their knees. Our ego will revolt against this. You know that we are in the material world, although you are still at the Adriatic coast and you might think this is the paradise, but it's still part of the material world. And you are also still part of the material world. And when we then want to enter into a new atmosphere, it's almost like flying to the moon without oxygen, you know. New atmosphere, it is there. And it results, we can't sleep in the night. We are so disturbed, we turn from one side to the other side. And then on top of it, full moon comes. I mean, those of you who are mystics know what full moon means. That's when you can fly if you know the art. It's a very light atmosphere, a little different. We meet people whom we don't know yet, and we are asked to share openly and freely. And all this and more, which I don't want to, I mean, we want to come to the subject of the lecture, creates an inner tension in us. And now I have a surprise for you. It's good. This tension is good. Do not hesitate to enter this world. Give yourself freely to it. Do not fear that you go too far, because the truth always lies beyond this, what you think is too far or your limits. So going on a retreat means that you What do you think have the monks experienced in their cells? What do you think was the feeling of the yogis who left their villages and went to the caves of the Himalayas? What do you think did Martin Luther feel when he wrote the new version of the Bible in Wittenberg? Those of you who have studied Christianity know this. The temptation, the old life coming back, the I'm not sure, you know, feelings, the doubts, the tensions. This is good. This is what we described as the first, let me say, in the first entering the retreat session. Remember, entering the liminal space, the space in between, the twilight zone, you know. We try to make it as good as we can for you. We try to make, we have chosen this place and not a place in the desert, for instance. We have, there is ample free time, 5 hours a day. You have absolutely free time to rest, to talk, to joke, to do everything you need to do. And we try to cook the best prasadam in the universe, although sometimes our spices are not very perfect, or whatever it is. But you will have to pass through this. And I can promise you, from, you know, this is what I in 2 years we did 20, we gave 23 retreats. We just sat down when we came back to India and said, how many retreats did we give the last 2 years? And we found out 23. That's what I do usually. And I always knew, if the devotees or participants, I give various retreats, can make it through the first 1 or 2 days, they experience the rising of a new sun in their life. And therefore I request you to go through it. And I must congratulate you. You might have noticed in the first evening I was a little tense. Did you feel that? I was, because I was fearing, oh no, I don't know if this will work here in this retreat. I do not know if the participants are ready to walk with me this way. But yesterday evening I felt there was a very spiritual atmosphere which was generated by all of you. So I did feel that very much, and I'm very thankful, and I know you can make it, you can do it, and you can become enlightened beings who leave this island with a halo. Well, that may be a little bit too poetic, halo, I mean, with a very much improved spiritual vibration. You can really come to a higher level. Dobro. I would request you now to turn to the text which we will read today. I must admit, I don't have the English of the text, which I will need, so maybe someone can bring me. I see. Sharanga, you have it? On the, okay, Sharanga.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Satyam dishat yatitam atitoninam.
Satyam dishat yatitam atitoninam.
I have to find another melody. Let me just see. Maybe someone can help me.
Naiva tato yat puna atita yata.
Naiva tato yat puna atita yata.
Svayam vidate bhajatam anicchatam.
Svayam vidate bhajatam anicchatam.
Icha pidanam nija pada palavam. Sadyam dishadya titam atito nrinam.
Sadyam dishadya titam atito nrinam.
Naiva tado yat puna atita yata.
Naiva tado yat puna atita yata.
Svayam vidate bhajatam anicchatam.
Svayam vidate bhajatam anicchatam.
Icha pidanam nija pada palavam.
Icha pidanam nija pada palavam.
Because of time reasons, I will go to the translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead fulfills the material desires of a devotee who approaches him with such motives. But he does not bestow benedictions upon the devotee that will cause him to demand more benedictions again. So if you go to Krishna and you want material things, he will give you material things. He will fulfill your material desires. He will say, you have it, here it is, what you wanted. Sometimes he gives us what we secretly wanted. But he gives it in such a way, this is what the text says, that the devotees will not demand more benedictions again. In other words, but they will understand. Maybe very soon or after some time, that this is not what I want. I don't really wish material things. I want you. However, the Lord willingly gives the devotee shelter at his own lotus feet, even though such a person does not aspire for it, and that shelter satisfies all his desires. That is the Supreme Personality's special mercy. What is the special mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? He takes note of the desires of his devotees, and he even fulfills them. But that is not an ordinary fulfillment. In the course of fulfilling the desires, or on the journey which the devotee takes. Journey means he starts with material desires and he goes forward. Eventually Krishna gives the understanding to his devotee that the shelter at his lotus feet, Krishna's lotus feet, is really all what the devotee wants. It happens sooner or later. And therefore, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that even though a devotee may momentarily appear to be fallen, and even be engaged in abominable activities, very soon, after some time, he will become righteous. He will come on the right path. If that devotee doesn't leave the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, he must remain connected with Krishna. And my dear devotees, to show you what this means, I was praying yesterday, Krishna, I want the devotees to understand your special mercy. How can this happen? And I'm not making a story. I was sitting in the ocean and said to Krishna, I pray to Krishna, please, I want that the devotees understand this. How can I make them understand? And I expected some, that I would open a book and find the answer, but instead I looked at the ocean and this came my way. Don't worry, there's no demon inside. What is this? I myself didn't believe my eyes when I saw it. And what's this? It just came floating with the waves. And then I understood. The lecture is today about sambandha, connection with Krishna. Sambandha means a bond, like this rope. Oh my God, I better put this down, otherwise you... You have to decide, my dear devotees, do you want to be bound by Maya, a rope of Maya around the neck, which pulls you from one life to the next, from one body to the next, or do you want to be bound by the rope of mercy, by Krishna? Last year when we were here, we heard that there are two types of bondages. One is the bondage to this world, and the other is the bond to Krishna. And you have to decide. So when this rope came floating down, on the Adriatic Sea, I just was so heavy, I almost fell into the sea and drowned, because I wanted to get this rope for you. Saintly rope. Sambandha in philosophy is that which helps to set things into the right order so that an experience can come about. For instance, sambandha or connection is something which I have experienced this morning. This is my little orchestra. It can be in different volumes, but only if I connect this with the electrical current will it make sound. This morning I forgot to connect it with the electric occur? And I said, it doesn't work. And the devotees came and said, when will you ever learn? It was not connected to the electrical current. You also will not work if you're not connected with Krishna. Our spiritual life will not function if we are not properly connected to Krishna. Our chanting will just be a joke if we are not properly connected. Nothing will come out. We need to have sambandha, or an inner connectedness. We need to be bound with this. We need to experience a bond to Krishna. This bond is so sweet that even if someone who is bound to Krishna, who is in connection with Krishna, still has material desires, like this verse says, Krishna will say, okay, my devotee, here you have it, but you will at the end come to me. I think this is something which we must learn in regards to ourselves and our own desires, which are sometimes still embarrassing and not good. And we must also learn this in relationship to others whom we see still struggle with material desires, you know, and who do things which are not what they really wish to do in their life. They feel helplessly pulled in this direction. If these people, and if we keep our connection with Krishna, our sambandha, we will become uredu after some time. This is the secret of bhakti. This is the secret of bhakti. This was discussed here in this discussion between Haridas Thakur and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They met on one day, and Haridas Thakur explained, as long as one's knowledge of Krishna and the self is unsteady, one is polluted by anattas and can only chant a semblance of the holy name. Sambandha gyan means you know that you are an eternal soul. Sambandha gyan means, or the knowledge of connection means, Krishna is my master. You know this. It is very much in your heart. It is there in your mind. And only if you have this type of knowledge will it be possible for you to experience the true sound of the holy name, because you are connected. This is like here in my little machine. And when it is connected, the sound can come. If it is not connected, no sound comes. When you are connected with sambandha gyan, I know I'm eternal, I know Krishna is my infinite kind Lord. If you are living in this understanding, the sound of the holy name will come more and more. There are three levels of chanting. One level is when we commit offenses. It's called nam apalad. Then nothing of spiritual experience can come. The second level, it is called namabhasa. It's when we are trying to become free from the anattas chant with full faith in Krishna. And the third level is called shuddhanam, when the pure name, which is like the rising sun which rises in the horizon of our heart starts. This is what we all want to obtain. At that time, when we have the pure name, then we are like what we heard yesterday, Haridas Thakur, who was just in so much ecstasy all the time because he was together with Krishna. Let us not deal with this idealistic platform at the moment, but let us see what is Nama Vasa. It's the level where most of us are on. It's when we wake up one morning and say, I really understand Krishna is there and I'm his eternal part, and I want to chant now his name, and I will give my best to try to avoid the aparadas. At that time we are still committing aparad. For instance, I know many of us here, they are sometimes have difficult relationship with other Vaishnavas. They look down on other Vaishnavas, they criticize them, they find faults, they even sometimes fight. This is an aparad, this is an offense. And as a result, the full glory of the holy name is not manifested. Or another one which we had yesterday. We are sometimes so distracted. Does this happen to you also sometimes? It happens to me very often. You just you're either thinking of something or you think of nothing. You know, you just in the tukko mode. And that is also an aparad, and you can't. Aparad sounds so heavy, but I mean it's on Nama Basa, it's almost the reality we face with. And at that time the holy name is there, but because you bring some self-constructed difficulties, it's that you can't see the holy name. It's explained like this. The sun now is there, but we don't experience it because there are some clouds. So when you are on the second level, you produce some clouds, so to say. And these clouds come in between you and God. You and the holy name, and therefore you don't experience the soothing rays, the beautiful rays of the holy name. The cloud of ignorance, where you just don't remember you are an eternal soul and that Krishna is your master. It's not present in your mind at the moment. There is something else which prevents the pure holy name to rise in your heart, and these are anattas. Anattas are described, you know, sense gratificatory activities and offenses which you commit, no? And weakness of the heart, you know, that is another anatta. So this these anattas, weakness of the heart, attachment to material enjoyment, and offenses against the name and against devotees and other living entities, you know, they are like mist. Mist means, in German it means something, but mist means fog, like fog. How do we say fog in Croatian?
Magla.
They are like magla. Magla. When you have a lot of fog in the winter, you can't. Have you seen this? You go on the road and you can't see the sun. But the idea of the sun is there. So these two things, ignorance and anattas, are like clouds and fog respectively, which keep the pure name from rising. And then we chant a covered name. I was looking outside this morning and I saw the oblaks, the clouds. I thought, what a good cooperation with the weather. Look at the cloudy sky. You understand the sun is up, but you cannot experience it. If you go and lie down near the coast, you cannot, you will shiver with cold. So cold, let me drink a hot tea or go inside. You know, the sun is there, but the clouds keep them. So this is when what happens to a devotee who's on the second level. He chants, but he doesn't experience the ecstasy of Krishna's presence. He doesn't experience the Ulasa, the festival of the holy name. And for him, chanting is something like it requires a very concentrated endeavor. No? The holy name always remains the holy name. It is fine. But you have created some obstacles. The obstacles of your ignorance and the obstacles of your own, you know, weaknesses and anattas and mistakes. Now, what should be done? Haridas Thakur gives a very, very nice solution. He says, as long as the jiva soul does not have knowledge of his relationship to God, he is obliged to take refuge in the mere semblance of the holy name. It's a look-alike. You know, it's not the real thing. It's like a Chinese Rolex watch. It looks like a Rolex watch from Switzerland, you know, but it is made in China, and it breaks after you look two times at it, you know. Actually, they are a little better, the Chinese watch. Let us call it a Taiwan Rolex watch. It's just that is not the real thing, you know. Or it's alcohol-free beer. You know, it's not the real thing. I want to talk to all devotees here who are here to give them examples, you know, which they all our guests also, you know. Or it is like a pizza without cheese. It looks only like this. Or to give a better example, it's really like a kirtan where your heart is not moved because Krishna has not appeared for you. Everyone else goes Hari Bol, and you think, when is this over? Because it's clouded, the holy name is clouded for you. It's not the real thing. So the end of this sad situation is when the new devotee, says Haridas Thakur, learns from a genuine spiritual master about his relationship to God, Sambandha, he attains expertise in bhajan and the clouds of ignorance disappear. So you need to do these two things to stop this state. You need to know who you are, and we will practice this in our workshop. We will have a meditation today. You will understand who you are and who is Krishna. You need to understand this and meditate about this, and then become a little expert in your bhajan. That means you must avoid the offenses while doing the bhajan and avoid the offenses in your life. You must become a little bit more expert, my dear devotees, in Krishna consciousness. You must learn this, what it is and how to do everything nicely, and then the clouds will disappear, and again the sun will be there. Again Vrindavan, again the ocean of love, again the flute and the stick and the kiss and everything of the spiritual world. Everything is big, everything is in order. That is the experience of Krishna consciousness for someone who is not in the clouds. I remember once Prabhupada was asked, what is Krishna consciousness like? How do you experience this? And he said, it's above the clouds. Wonderful definition. Above the clouds. Above ignorance, Madhavananda. Above anattas. Above offenses. It's just blissful. Hare Krishna. Once, would you like to hear more how Haridas explains this?
Yeah.
Good. Once, wow, thank you. Wow, this is. Once the clouds and mists have dissipated, the sun of the holy name shines forth and gives the blessings of prema to the devotee. The bona fide spiritual master bestows or gives us sambandha knowledge and engages us in the practice of cultivating the holy name. It means he teaches us to avoid, to do everything right. As the sun of the holy name's rays grow stronger and stronger, they quickly drive the fog of anattas away. Then the holy name grants the ultimate goal of life, which is? Thank you, yes, Krishna prema. But now listen to a secret, says Haridas. Even if the living entity has obtained Krishna prema, he still continues to chant. And this will bring us to our last point this evening, this morning, not evening. I'm already in my own clouds here. I once wanted to see the queen of the Himalayas. I had gone very deep into the mountains where I know she was hiding, but I couldn't see her. I sat down on a cold rock. It was so cold, and waited until she would appear before my eyes. And then it happened. I was surrounded by this white fog, and there were clouds, but somehow the rays of the sun became stronger and stronger and drove away the fog and the clouds. Then I could see her in her naked beauty, Neelkant. It's a beautiful mountain. It looks so beautiful. All Himalaya books have a photo of this queen. It's a white mountain peak, just totally full of ice and snow. And no mountain climber up to this day has ever stepped on her, because she is really the queen. Somehow it's mystical. You know, expeditions have tried to scale her, but they're always, the mountain climbers fall Even a yogi once, I heard from Paramatma Prabhu, who is from there, had gone on that mountain had gone by his mystical potency, and then, listen to this, this is what I heard, he felt an irresistible force picking him up, carrying him and throwing him down on the foot of the queen, and he was wounded. Then another yogi came out, and he carried with him this rare herb, and he put the herb on the wounds, and the wounds healed. But the yogi said, I never tried to step again on the queen. It's not done. Once I asked Reinhold Messner, the mountain climber, have you climbed Mount Kailash? And he said, no. I don't take my dirty boots on a god. Don't do this. So, anyways, I couldn't see the queen, but when the sun rose, the mist and the fog was put away. So in the same way, we may not be able to see the holy name in its pristine glory. We may not relate to the holy name. It may not be so ecstatic for us in the beginning. And we hear, what is this talk about Kirtan? Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. It is difficult. That is what it is. Yes, because there are clouds and there is fog still in your mind and only around your heart. But as you continue to chant with Sambandha Gyan and with trying to become an expert, you know, in chanting, avoiding the offenses, the rays will become of the sun of the holy name will increase for you and take away this mist. Would you like how this is an important part in the Harinam Chintamani? Would you like to hear more about this? Do you feel this is relevant for your spiritual life? I think we all know we are living in the fog and in the mist, no? With the clouds, I mean. When the jiva, that means the living entity, faithfully takes shelter of a spiritual master, he first clearly learns of his relation with Krishna. Krishna is the eternal master, and the living entity is his eternal servant. Love for Krishna is also eternal and apparent, it means it appears, when the jiva's true nature is manifest. When Prabhupada came to America, he gave quite quickly initiations. At that time, the devotees didn't have many books, they had the lectures of Srila Prabhupada, and they didn't have so many lectures like you have, sometimes an overload of lectures. So they everything was so new, so brand new. Wow, Sambandha, what's that? Prasadam, what is that? Harinam, what is that? Far out, Gulab Jamun, what is that? That's the first thing they learned. Gulab Jamun, Prabhupada had at the entrance and the exit of the temple a bowl of sweets called Gulab Jamuns, because he wanted the devotees to eat enough sweets so when they would go out and leave the temple, they would pop a Gulab Jamun in their mouth and don't eat and wouldn't feel a need to drink beer and smoke and eat all kinds of American food, you know. So he thought this will be good, you know, just some sweets. It was not so easy for all of us. But then he very quickly gave initiations. He only wanted to know two things. He would ask the young devotees, who is Krishna? And if they knew the answer, he is God, then he would ask the second question, who are you? And if they knew the answer and said, we are a soul, we are part of him, then he said, okay, you can be initiated in 2 weeks. Because this is Sambandha Gyan. This is the knowledge of the connection. So when you chant, you need to enter this understanding. The correct understanding of one's position is called Sambandha Gyan. It means to think, I am a small particle of consciousness and the eternal servant of Krishna. Krishna is the infinite conscious entity and my only master. The material world is the prison house that is meant to reform my absent-minded tendencies. When you chant like this, then you attain love for Krishna, the essence of all religion, and you give up the idea of liberation or merging with God's existence. You want to be with Krishna. This is how to practice. This is the ground on which you can walk. And this makes you perfect. Now, as we are, please activate this thing. As we are trying to live in this understanding, there will be material desires coming up. Because we have not yet realized that we are an eternal soul. Our problem is we have a theory, but we are what we are, beginners on the spiritual path. And we will, as this verse said, even approach Krishna with our material desires. We will pray maybe, or we will hope that we get a nice wife or a nice moosh. Moosh means husband. Or we are not satisfied with our moosh, or we are not satisfied with our genya, our wife, then we will speculate about someone else. Or we want a new iPod, or new papushkas, you know. So many things are there. Now, listen to this. Krishna is very kind to his devotees, and he will give this. He will say, due to entanglement and illusion, my servant has turned away from me and now desires other unimportant things. I know what is truly good for him. Therefore, I will gradually make him give up sense enjoyment and the desire for liberation and give my devotee devotion. Krishna does this. Isn't that wonderful? He's like a little, like a father who knows, okay, my little boy wants to drive a log. I know my father was like this. I have to tell you something. I lived in an old villa, which that's how I grew up. which had been transformed into a train station. It was after the war, you know, there was a big thing, big villa. They made this a train station. And we lived in one part of the villa, and in another part there was the train station, which was good because my father was in charge of the train station. So I saw all the what is it called, locomotives, and I wanted to drive them, little boy like Arjuna, you know. And I sometimes in the night went into the locomotives and tried to start them. And one time I remember, it was something like a locomotive. It was not so complicated, you know. One time I actually started the thing, you know. I don't know how. It was maybe Krishna fulfilled my material desire out there, you know. But somehow this thing started to make sound, boop, boop, and started to move, you know. And you know, that's dangerous when you move on, and there's only one track, and I was not the regular train. The regular train was going to come, you know. You know, the scheduled train, but I liked it. Wow, and Brizzo, and tried to play, and all the things started to go. So my father and I don't know how, but somehow I think the thing fell off the train track or something. I'm still living by Krishna's mercy, as you can see. But I don't know. It was just because in the midst of it, I panicked. I wanted to jump out of the thing, but it was too fast. And somehow, yeah, right. Then the thing just went too fast, and boom, I fell. The whole thing fell, and it was a total schaden, we say, a total thing. So my father understood. My little boy likes to go with speed somewhere, but he can't drive trains, you know. So he gave me something else. We call it in Germany a Seifenkiste. You know, it's a small thing with four wheels. And then you push it up the mountain, and then you go down. Do you know this thing? It's, how do we call it in
karet.
The karet, yes. Some karet, you know. And he gave me a karet, you know. And Krishna does this also. He sees we have our desires, and then he gives us a Seifenkiste. You know, he fulfills, okay. You may try. And after some time, you know, like a child who gives up his life and kiste, his karet, we give up that material thing as useless. We understand this. This is how kind Krishna is. To a devotee who is in sambandha, who is in connection with him, who prays to him. Then Haridas Thakur makes his last point, and I will end here. O Lord, you have always the living entity's welfare in mind. Thus, in this age of Kali, you have descended into this world and brought your holy name along with you. You told everyone that the only duty of the jiva is he must remember the holy name and chant the holy name. Huh? The holy name is Krishna himself, my dear devotees. And if we learn to remember the holy name, means meditate about him, you know, not be absent-minded, but be there, Hare Krishna, Hare, like we did yesterday. Huh? Remember how we were present-minded and not absent? If you chant like this, then the name is the way and the goal. This is a very important definition of the holy name. It's simultaneously the way to reach Krishna, and it is already the goal, because he is identical with Krishna. You will see that when the clouds and the fog disappear. That sadhana is the best, where the goal and the practice is the same. That sadhana, says Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is the best, where there is no difference between the means and the end. And that sadhana is the best when nothing separates the spiritual practice from its goal. There are many yoga ways. Kama yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga, you know. Well, that's in ashtanga yoga, the different. Yes, once again, that's in ashtanga yoga. So, there are different yogas in the traditional field. But in all these yogas, the way is not the goal. You have to do something to reach a certain amount of perfection. And to do it, you have to fulfill so many conditions. Do you know that in order to really experience the Hatha yoga practices, you must absolutely clean your body by cleaning it from all toxins? Then only you can experience pranayama. Do you know when you do karma yoga, you must have the ideal place and you must follow about 1,000 rules if you want to be successful? Do you know if you want to practice jnana yoga, you have to practice so many things which you need. You need a place and solitude. You need so many things. But in the holy name, no other condition is required than just having simple faith and the practice. And in this way, the holy name can bring you quickly to the goal. Shri Harinam Sankirtana Ki Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. So I have reached the end of this discussion and want to see if you have any questions regarding what you have heard. Prema Mukti.
Maharaj, you were mentioning how Krishna fulfills our childish desire sometimes in the way that we don't desire them again. Can you please just little explain which attitude should we have, you know, when desiring to do something for Krishna? Because sometimes we childishly go and do something which is against Krishna's will. Okay. How to really see that is the, you know, will of the Krishna?
That's a good question. How can we know that what we desire is the will of Krishna? When we want to find out what is the will of Krishna, we have three places where we can check. The first place is the devotees. I don't mean just anyone who wears a sika or a zari and dhoti. I mean people who have Krishna in their heart. Huh? That's the first thing, the first place we can go and ask, what do you think? The second place where we can find out if something is the desire of Krishna are the revealed scriptures, Shastra. There is a technique which we teach in our Bhagavatam seminar where you can read or study the scriptures in such a way that it seems that the Shastra gives you kripa or mercy. Scripture gives you kripa by revealing something to you. It's basically you read until something catches your attention, and then you stop. You don't continue to read to gain more information, but you allow yourself to go deeper at the place where you feel called, where something moves you, where it seems the scripture has just said to you, hey, and you stop there. And then you go at that place, you go deeper. You first of all reflect about the information which you have obtained, and then you pray for a revelation in your heart, and then you will see how you get informations, divine informations from the divine sound of the scriptures. The third place where you can check is your own spiritual master. Now, sometimes we have desires which are so strong, and of course, everyone, you must know the psychology of every normal jiva is to think, I'm good, I'm trying my best, I'm very without any fault. You know, that's the normal conditioned mentality. Others don't just understand me, you know. So everyone always wants to do the best, usually, if they are not Genghis Khan or you know, people who take pleasure in giving trouble to other people, you know. But very often what they think is Krishna's desire is really their own desire. And they don't want to listen to devotees, they don't want to listen to scriptures, they don't want to listen to guru also. That is the situation of the beginning devotee, or the devotee who just is very much convinced of himself. How can such a devotee find out? This is very difficult, because he really doesn't want to find out. So what to do? He has made his decision. If he is a good devotee, then Krishna will show him in one way or the other. He will know, I'm trying to do this, but it just doesn't work out. It seems Krishna has not blessed this project of mine. That is my answer to your question. I myself in the situation now where I want to manifest a life school. It's called the Vedic Way. I think you have heard about it. There's already a web page. And I begin to understand now, after a few years, I understand how this can be done. It will be done differently than I thought it should be done. And I understood this by the help of devotees, by the help of reading, by the help of really wanting to know from Prabhupada, how can I serve you with this? And then the knowledge comes. So my recommendation to you, Premamurti Prabhu, is discuss with various devotees, present the project if there is an opportunity to your spiritual master, and inform you, read regularly in the books and see if what you wish to do is really in tune with Krishna consciousness, and you will know. Because you're a serious devotee, you will know. By the way, just you know, because we had a wonderful discussion yesterday, I was a little tired, but the discussion was, I think your project is excellent, the one that you showed me, but maybe you have another question in your mind, something else in your mind, and asking this question. Good. Akura, do I see you? Yes, Akura Prabhu. Let us give you the microphone, please.
How can you know the difference between Vaishnava Parad and fighting for the right thing?
Akrura Prabhu, you have a unique gift to put something in a very short way, huh? Then we can learn amongst many other things from Akrura. It's a very good question. So because it's like a sutra, I have to, you know, say it again. How can we know the difference between Vaishnav Aparad and fighting for the right thing? Yeah. So I don't want to give you just a full, you know, I can start to speak now. Let me just think about this for a moment. I think you must have thought about this question already a little bit. This is what registers in my mind. Do you have some ideas? No idea? Okay, then let me... You know that when we speak of Vaishnava Aparad, it always has to do with belittling a Vaishnava. You can make a Vaishnava Aparad, now I'm getting very technical, according to Madhurya Kadambini, which analyzes this subject, that out of four motivations, out of four perspectives. One is, this devotee was previously sinful, he can't be so saintly. You, in other words, see what he previously was. Second is, you think of him as a member of a particular area, or he is a Belkane devotee. I'm saying this because sometimes I'm saying this, but criticize someone because of that. It's always criticizing someone because of his previous bad activities, his present karma, you know, his birth, where he took birth, and what? Accidental fall down when he, you know, when he does something, like you see him smoking a cigarette, you know, somewhere, and it was an accidental fall down, which is something which just happened to him,
and for the mistakes who are almost vanished,
and for mistakes which are almost vanished. For instance, he may have a rough nature because he used to be a wrestler, and so on. So these, you find fault with the devotee because of that. That is a Vaishnava Aparad. Now, if something is wrong, is done wrongly and needs to be corrected, that is in a different category. That has, technically speaking, this is not about a person. It's about, here is a situation which was done wrongly, and it needs to be corrected. So you need to look at the situation as what it is. You need to get opinions on the situation. If you feel my perspective is maybe too limited and too, I can't see all the aspects, and then you
do things in a then you correct. The way to correct is also given. You don't harshly attack someone who has a different opinion than you, but you correct them in a Vaishnav way. This is the situation. And it is said in Kali Yuga, it's always good if you have, if you asked others, what do you think? What do I see? Is it like this, or do I see things wrong? And then you correct it. But it's not, in Latin you would say ad homini. It's not against a person what you do. It's for a situation. To make a situation right. Vaishnava apparat is always against a person. You know, you criticize him. That is a difference. Yeah, now we have a technically clear, but I know life is not always so. This is here, this category, there's that category. Sometimes not easy. And therefore your question is, let me please think more about it, and personally we can talk. Maybe you also have something in some examples, and we can discuss that. Good. Anyone else? Gaur Govinda. Who has the best name? This name. Who gave you? Sorry.
Thank you for the I wonder what makes us leave the sambandha? What makes us actually leave this connection of this almost merciful Lord when we...
Yes. Who can leave such a merciful Lord, or what makes us leave? Gaur Govinda, this is of course a subject which has been discussed, from how did the soul fall down from the spiritual world. It's ultimately sorry. I'm very sorry for this uncultured noise. It's ultimately very difficult to understand. And I always remember one explanation or answer of Srila Prabhupada, which for me makes it clear. It's actually not really understandable, but it does happen. And he gives this example, that if a person goes with full clothes on a, I can't now find the English word, steak, what is a steak? Something like a mole which goes into the ocean where they can tie ships on. Pier, a mole, yeah. And then it comes into his mind, let me jump into the water. It does happen somehow. I had this in winter. I was going, you know, we live just next to the lake, and I was there, and I thought, let me jump. And I said, no. You know, but it does happen. It's really, you can't imagine. It's some craziness or something which comes over someone. It's somehow we as living entities have this part in our personality to strive for independence from Krishna. We have that. It's there, you know. And very few living entities find this. And they are the ones who are the world. You say, very few? We are here, few billions or so. This is nothing in comparison to the spiritual world. It's just a little prison house, you know, insignificant. The spiritual reality, oh, so vast, and our world is smaller than the world of an ant. But we think it's so important. And the most important in this world is us. We think like this. This is called Maya. Now, this is how it happens. We have the... It is explained philosophically that because we are created with similar qualities as God, we also have independence and absolute freedom and can go wherever we want to go. Hare Krishna. I cannot give a better example or better answer. May look at the... Oh yeah, it's about time now. I request you all to stay. I will ask Bhavanandini to just give us a brief orientation. I thank you for your nice participation. And if you forget everything, don't forget this, please. Today is our Sambandha day, the day of our, you know, making the connection. I have to be careful that no one makes photos. I mean, it's so embarrassing if you are on the photos and remain connected. Sambandha to Krishna.